Well, okay, so January will go down as the S&P's worst January since 2009. And here we are now starting off a new month, and it's a little shaky for the first day of February as well. And what surprises me is what seems to be fueling it. And the two things that we hear all the time is oil and China. And should I don't know why we're so surprised in why China is still having such an impact.
You never know what's going to get the market's attention. So China's been slowing for years now. I mean, this is not new news by any stretch of the imagination. Neither is oil. Oil is not new news. It hasn't been for 14 months now. But it's just whatever the market chooses to fixate on in any given day, any given week, that seems to be what it is right now. The market has the attention span of a gnat. It'll see a new shiny ball bouncing down the street and go run after that next. So it's that's what's roiling it today. I don't necessarily think that that's going to be what's roiling it a week or two from now. And I think that a lot of these things are very close to running their course. Now, China is going to be sort of a problem for a while. You don't turn a battleship the size of China on a dime. What's going to happen there is eventually it'll just stop. The rate of change there will slow down. It'll somewhat stabilize, and like I said, the market will find something new to stress out about. That may take a few more months. Whereas oil, we will see. But I think if we haven't seen the bottom in oil, we're awfully close.
And we are going to talk about oil in the next segment. And I was fortunate enough to catch Boone Pickens, brilliant guy, on CNBC this morning. And he had some very interesting things to say, and also something over the weekend coming out of Saudi. So we are definitely going to get to the oil. Now, I guess, of course, China affects the rest of the world more so than it affects us. And I guess that seems to be where the I don't want to say fear necessarily, but why the impact seems to be hitting us is not necessarily because we don't really do that much business with China, but the rest of the world does.
Well, it yes, and it's all interconnected. So we don't do it's not like we depend on China for a ton of our exports. We don't, but a lot of our big multinational companies, the ones that are represented in the S&P 500 or represented in the Dow, they do have an outsized presence in China. For example, Apple. Part of the reason behind Apple, and full disclosure, I own Apple. I think it's a great stock. But one of the reasons Apple has gotten beaten around so much over the last couple months is they have big exposure to China.
All right.
So it's while our economy is less affected by China, because remember, the U.S. economy is this massively huge internal market, but the stock market, stocks and bonds out there, that is not the economy. That is a small
Exactly.
subset of the economy. And so while our stock market may get roiled by what's happening in China, it doesn't necessarily mean our economy will.
Right. Well, we had some other news coming out this morning. Consumer spending apparently was very flat in December, and Americans weren't buying as many cars and trucks. They were not spending, of course, the plus side, they were not spending as much on utility bills right now or anything because we've had this unseasonably warm weather. But as far as inflation, I guess it just seems like it's all pretty flat right now.
It is. Well, and oil helps that, of course.
Yes.
But even stripping out energy and food prices, and I know that that's somewhat controversial. People
Right.
raise an eyebrow when, oh, well, you're excluding energy and food. I mean, that's what I spend most
Which
of
I've
my money
never
on.
understood.
So, well, I do get it, though, because the thinking is, if you're trying to look at the numbers and draw conclusions, it's hard to find a trend with something like energy or food that can be. A gallon of milk can be $5 this week and $2 the next and four the week after that, and it's so noisy and so all over the place that if you're trying to look at a trend there and actually draw conclusions, it's really hard to it, you don't know you don't even know what you're looking at. So it does make sense to look at both numbers. I'm not saying it makes sense to completely exclude those all the time, But it does make sense to sort of look at both sets. When you look at the inflation numbers without the food and energy, you do get a better idea of the long-term trend. And that is where it gets interesting right now, because there really is no inflation, even stripping out those. There is some inflation, of course, but it's much lower than what the Fed would like right now. So what that tells us a few things. Tells us, one, we're far, far, far less likely to get those additional Fed rate hikes this year. And it tells us, if anything, the Fed may end up getting a little bit more aggressive on stimulus. I know they don't want to, but I would not be surprised if they do.
Ben Bernanke, of course, came out. We may have touched on this on Friday. Ben Bernanke came out, and he even thinks that the Fed should have negative interest rates in their toolbox.
I think it's a matter of time. If you look at the other central banks of the world, the European Central Bank and the Bank of Japan have already done it. So we're the other, the big three are the Federal Reserve, and of course those other two. We're the only one of the big three that hasn't done that. So I question how effective of a tool it really is, but it doesn't mean we won't try it. So, and I think we probably will. More because it's just one of the few tools we haven't tried here yet. If you look at Japan, you look at Europe, it hasn't really been effective. It hasn't really spurred demand. It's not like the bank's going to say, oh, okay, I need to go make more loans now. So I'm just going to go find people and companies willing to borrow money, and I'm going to give them a loan, and they're going to take out that loan and hire people and build new. No, it just doesn't really work that way. Companies borrow money when they need it. When they need to hire people, when they need to build a new factory, when they need to expand, when they need to do anything. But they don't borrow money just because it's cheap. That doesn't make sense. So we will see, but I'm skeptical as to whether or not that tool actually works. But I bet you anything, we try it.
All right. Well, it's going to be a really big week for earnings, and we've only got about a minute here. About a fifth of the S&P 500 companies are going to report earnings this week. Lots of economic data is also coming out. We've got manufacturing figures, auto sales. The Friday, we're going to have that jobs report. So there's a lot of stuff going to be going on the first week of February. Charles, on the other side, we're going to delve into a little bit about oil, because something happened late last week, and I'm wondering if Saudi has finally blinked. You're listening to